Welcome to day 116 of our 180-day study of the Westminster Standards. We're continuing to look at the doctrine of the church. Yesterday we looked at the distinction between the visible church and the invisible church. We continue with that analysis in the larger catechism, question 63, which asks, what are the special privileges of the visible church? Answer, the visible church hath the privilege of being under God's special care and government, of being protected and preserved in all ages, notwithstanding the opposition of all enemies, and of enjoying the communion of saints, the ordinary means of salvation, and offers of grace by Christ to all the members of it, in the ministry of the gospel, testifying that whosoever believes in him shall be saved, and excluding none that will come unto him. The first phrase, that the church, the visible church, hath the privilege of being under God's special care and government, we're directed to Isaiah 4, and the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night, for upon all the glory shall be a defense, and there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from storm and from rain. 1 Timothy 4:10, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, specially of those that believe. The second phrase, that the visible church hath the privilege of being protected and preserved in all ages, notwithstanding the opposition of enemies. Psalm 115, 1 and 2. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? And the our edition of the catechism says, and so forth, that we should see the entire psalm throughout. Verse 9, O Israel, trust thou in the Lord, he is their help and their shield, etc. Isaiah 31, for thus hath the Lord spoken unto me, like as the lion and the young lion roaring on his prey, when a multitude of shepherds is called forth against him, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor abase himself for the noise of them. So shall the Lord of hosts come down to fight for Mount Zion, and for the hill thereof. As birds flying, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending also he will deliver it, and passing over he will preserve it. Zechariah 12, 2 and 4, and other verses in Zechariah 12. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about it, when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. In that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment, and his rider with madness. And I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah, and will smite every horse of the people with blindness. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. The principle in these passages is an important principle in a day when we're spending tens of thousands of dollars per person for national security. Then finally, the visible church hath the privilege of enjoying the communion of saints, the ordinary means of salvation. Acts 2:39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. The visible church hath the privilege of enjoying the communion of saints, the ordinary means of salvation, and offers of grace by Christ to all the members of it in the ministry of the gospel, testifying that whosoever believes in him shall be saved. Psalm 147, 19 and 20, he showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any other nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. Romans 9:4, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. Ephesians 4:11-12, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Mark 16:15-16, and he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. The visible church hath the privilege of the offers of grace by Christ to all members of it in the ministry of the gospel, testifying that whosoever believes in him shall be saved, and excluding none that will come unto him. John 6:37, All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. The same point is made in the Confession of Faith, chapter 25, section 3. Unto this Catholic visible church Christ has given the ministry, oracles, and ordinances of God for the gathering and perfecting of the saints in this life to the end of the world, and does by his own presence and spirit, according to his promise, make them effectual thereunto. 1 Corinthians 12:28, God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, and we read this verse up till verse 13, till we come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Matthew 28:19, which we read above, the Great Commission, and Isaiah 59:21, as for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord, my spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. The next point is made by the Confession of Faith in chapter 25 on the Church, section 4. This Catholic Church has been sometimes more, sometimes less visible, and particular churches, which are members thereof, are more or less pure, according as the doctrine of the gospel is taught and embraced, ordinances administered, and public worship performed more or less purely in them. So the first point, the Catholic Church has been sometimes more, sometimes less visible. Romans 11:3, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Revelation 12:6, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And, the confession says, particular churches, which are members of the Catholic Church, are more or less pure, according as the doctrine of the gospel is taught and embraced, ordinances administered, and public worship performed more or less purely in them. And we're told to look at Revelation 2 and 3 throughout, which has the letters to the seven churches, some of which are lukewarm and some of which are doing much better. 1 Corinthians 5:6, Paul says, Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Back to the larger catechism, now question 61. Are all they saved who hear the gospel and live in the church? Answer, all that hear the gospel and live in the visible church are not saved, but they only who are true members of the church invisible. John 12:38-40, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. Romans 9:6, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Matthew 22:14, many are called, but few are chosen. Matthew 7:21, not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Romans 11:7, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. The same point is made in Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 25, in section 5. The purest churches under heaven are subject both to mixture and error, and some have so degenerated as to become no churches of Christ, but synagogues of Satan. Nevertheless, there shall always be a church on earth to worship God according to his will. For the first point, that the purest churches under heaven are subject both to mixture and error, we're to look at 1 Corinthians 13:12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. We're told also look again to Revelation chapters 2 and 3, the letters to the seven churches there, some of which are subject to both mixture and error. And Matthew 13, a parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up in every fruit, and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also, etc. Then down to verse 47, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. Some of these churches have so degenerated as to become no churches of Christ, but synagogues of Satan. Revelation 18:2, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Romans 11:18, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. Nevertheless, according to section 5 of chapter 25, there shall be always a church on earth to worship God according to his will. Matthew 16:18, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Psalm 72:17, and his name shall endure forever, his name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him, all nations shall call him blessed. Psalm 102:28, the children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. And Matthew 28:19, that go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even to the end of the age. Amen. Finally, in section 6 of Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 25, there is no other head of the church but the Lord Jesus Christ, nor can the Pope of Rome in any sense be head thereof, but is that Antichrist, that man of sin and son of perdition, that exalts himself in the church against Christ and against all and all that is called God. There is no other head of the church but the Lord Jesus Christ, Colossians 1:18. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And Ephesians 1:22, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. The final point, that the Pope of Rome is the Antichrist, is a position that is not widely held today, and many American Presbyterian churches have gotten rid of this line from the confession, but there are a few who still believe it. The proof texts that the Pope of Rome is the Antichrist, Matthew 23:8-10, be not called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and ye are all brethren, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven, neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. 2 Thessalonians 2, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Paul tells the Thessalonians that they see this working in their day. This was something that was fulfilled while the temple still existed, before God destroyed the temple. Revelation 13:6, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. The takeaway point here is that there are within the church those who are not true believers. And this will be an important point when we come to the next section of this analysis of the fifth commandment, which is those who are in authority over church. We'll talk about the authority that the church wields, and then we'll compare that with the authority of the civil magistrate. We'll do that tomorrow on day 117.